My dear brethren, I hold it a great privilege to be allowed to bear witness of the truth of this work to the assembled priesthood of the church. I bear testimony to you that this is the work of God, established by him through the instrumentality of the prophet Joseph Smith. This testimony I found in my early youth. It has remained with me as certain knowledge all these years. And I have discovered, as you have, I'm quite sure, the method by which such a testimony may be kept alive, blossoming, useful in human life. The formula is simple. Live the gospel every day. Practice it and study it regularly. Don't let the affairs of the day that deal with the making of our living crowd aside matters that pertain to the gospel. If we do that, the testimony will become increasingly certain, will grow, will expand to us in meaning and comprehension. During these days, I've enjoyed with the rest of you a feast of good things. And during the days, a thought has come into my mind repeatedly and has crowded out any preparation that I may have made for this occasion. It's an ancient theme touched upon by several speakers at this conference. If the Lord will help me, I should like to discuss it with you briefly. This is a church of peace. The gospel of Lord Jesus Christ is a gospel of peace. The head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, was spoken of in Brother McKay's address, as I remember it, as the Prince of Peace. If you study the conditions of the church, its principles, its practices, all that pertains to it, I think we shall find that they all converge upon one great objective: the establishment of peace upon earth and among the children of men. That is the ancient objective. It dates back, I'm quite sure, to the beginning of mortal time. Now, this matter of peace appears and reappears in the scriptures. It was Brother Kirkham, I think, yesterday, who quoted the Savior. Peace I bring you, my peace I give unto you. At this particular time in the history of the world, we have much to say about peace. The devil, for some time, has been given ample dominion over his own. But as we understand, there never is a time when the hand of the Lord is withdrawn from human affairs. And apparently, the tide of battle is now being turned towards victory for those who are battling for righteous principles. And so men are thinking about peace. What is going to happen after the war? Books are being published, articles written. A deluge a written material dealing with the propositions and proposals relative to the disposition of all mankind and all the earth after the war is over. I just want to say to my brethren here today that as I read these proposals, they begin at the wrong end, and they will all fail. Peace upon earth is not to be established by Congress or by Parliament or by a group of international representatives. Peace is not a thing that can be taken on as we do a coat and taken off again as we do a piece of clothing. Peace is quite different from that. It's not the way by which peace is to be established upon the face of the earth. That I know every man here understands. And you remember the Savior himself that tried to point that out to us. For when he spoke to his disciples and said, "Peace I give unto you, peace I leave with you," he added, "But I give it not as the world gives it." Peace comes from within. Peace is myself, if I'm a peaceful man. The very essence of me must be the essence of peace. Individuals make up a community and a nation. An old enough doctrine, too often overlooked, and the only way to build a peaceful community or a community of peace is to build it of men and women who are lovers of peace. Each individual, by that doctrine of the Christ of the Church, holds in his own hands the peace of the world. I'm responsible for the peace of the world, and you individually are responsible for the peace of the world. It can't be shifted to someone else. It can't be placed upon the shoulders of our Congress or Parliaments or any other organization of men with governing authority. I wonder if the Lord did not have that in mind when he said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Or perhaps you should re-emphasize it and say, "The kingdom of God is within you." I think our problem is, in this day and age, the most terrible in some respects in the whole history of the world, to understand that peace and all that pertains to it must come from within, from out of human hearts who have been drilled and tested in righteousness. Now the question may be asked, it is frequently asked, is it possible for an individual to become vanquished, I was about to say, by peace? To become really an individual who repeated manifold by the millions may finally make of the earth a happy, peaceful place? And our answer we are giving to the world. For if a man but conform, if he but is in harmony with eternal law, peace will be his. There's a simple formula again. That refers to the body, refers to the mind, refers to the spirit, refers to our neighbor. If I obey the laws of the body, the physical laws, I should be in harmony with those laws, and peace, physical peace, will be mine. If I obey the mental laws of health, I shall be mentally at peace. If I obey the spiritual laws that God has given, I shall likewise find peace. And if I love my neighbor, even as I love my God, if I learn to do that, there will be social peace. It can be done. It has been done. But it lies at the foundation, at the bottom of our searching and our reaching out for peace in this world. There may be some here. I suspect there may be many. This is not a testimony meeting. Who have tried to pay just a part of the tithing due the Lord. Has peace remained in that heart? Let's ask ourselves. There may be those like the soldier mentioned by Brother Lee this morning, who have been taught the word of wisdom, but failed to keep it. There was not peace in his heart when he lay wounded in need of divine help. Conformity to law brings peace. But we've got to understand the law before we can obey it. And thereby hangs the tale so long that it's impossible to discuss it here in a few moments at my disposal. The world doesn't understand the law. Doesn't understand the truth. God, a mysterious essence throughout the universe, incomprehensible. And men can't find peace unless these deeper realities of existence are understood correctly. Behind is left in such hearts who only possess part truth and unease, the opposite of peace. Men must understand the plan of salvation to find peace in their hearts, to establish peace there, the meaning of life. I remember the hostile British officer who attempted to prevent my entrance into Great Britain on one occasion because I was a Mormon. And in a conversation he said, finally, if I admit you, what will you do in Great Britain? I answered and said, if you admit me to the best of my ability, I shall teach the people of Great Britain how to win happiness in this life and in the life hereafter. I shall tell them whence they came, why are they here upon this earth, and where they're going after death. And this uniformed man, long-time servant of the empire, looked at me in astonishment. Can you answer those questions? Let me have your passport to clear that off. I want to talk with you. All my life, I've sought for answers to those questions. He was not at peace. And I remember the aged widow down in southern Utah, a convert from England, who left a cultured home to begin the toil of building an empire here in the West. She told me of her struggles, of her sacrifices, of the pains of the day and the years. And then when she told her story, enough to bring tears to my eyes, I said to her, Sister, it's been a hard life. You sacrificed much. If you could look ahead, look down the coming years, and you're a girl again in England, would you do it? Would you accept the gospel and face the life that you have lived? And the old lady in her 80s got up from her chair, looked me in the eyes. For that which the gospel has given me, I would do it over again 10,000 times. She had found peace. Well, it's a long story. I want to say one more thing before my time is over. There is a paragraph in the Doctrine and Covenants, which I've read with many a sober thought. Every man who will not take up his sword against his neighbor must needs flee to Zion for safety. And there shall be gathered unto it of every nation under heaven, and it shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another. They shall flee to Zion for safety. I've long since come to the conclusion that that does not mean a geographically limited place, but a place where the pure in heart dwell. And out of that Zion shall go the force and the power that'll bring peace to pass upon this troubled earth. And we are commissioned, we are of Zion. We say we are, I know we are. And we have this tremendous obligation so to live, so to find peace in our own hearts, as to make this place, make our companionship a place and companionship to which the suffering, the uneasy, those without peace in all the world may flee for safety. A tremendous obligation rests upon the Latter-day Saints. Our patriarch spoke last night of this people being as a leaven. We know that. We are a leaven to all the world. That's why the minority he spoke of doesn't count. Not a question of majorities and minorities. It's a question of the power of the leaven. But the leaven may be weak. Sometimes isn't strong, has to be strengthened. That's our problem. So to strengthen this leaven among our people, leaven of peace, the gospel of peace among our people, that out of our presence, out of our wards and stakes, branches, we'd radiate something that will touch the hearts of all who are seekers after truth, who are lovers of peace. And as they gather to us, they will be blessed and find that which they seek and help establish upon this earth the kingdom of peace, which is the kingdom of heaven. I'm looking at the leadership of this church at this moment. We've had a wonderful feast of good things. Seldom have I felt so inspired as I have during this conference. Shall we go back now and take all that we have eaten, that we have received, and convert that into a message of peace wherever we go? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's my message to you and my plea, that every one of us, in behalf of himself, in behalf of his flock, in behalf of the world, constitute himself a peacemaker, beginning with his own heart, to cleanse that, to make that fit for the abode of peace. And may God so help us and bless us, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.